Somebody give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. I keep hearing this. I keep hearing this. Creflo, come on up here. I keep hearing this. Take the high ground. Come on up to a higher place. Stretch. Press. Engage. Come up hither. Come up here. Come up to the throne of God. Sit with me. Look down on all of the areas of the problems and the curses and the places of pitfall. Come look with me, saith the Lord. Have you not read in my word where it says, you have been raised up together with me to sit together with me in heavenly places? That word is not referring to after you come to heaven. No, no. That word is referring to now. Come up here. Come up here. Press up to a higher place in me, saith the Lord. Take the high ground of victory. Take the high ground of authority. Take the high ground that the Word presents unto you and sit in a high place and look down on the enemy. Don't ever, ever look up to him. He is under your feet, saith the Lord. Look down on lack. Look down on sickness and disease, for it has been defeated. It has been brought low, praise God. It has been put under the feet of the body of Christ, and you are my body, saith the Lord. So, I give forth the call. I give forth and raise the voice. Come up hither. Come up to the throne of God, for you are welcome here, you are family here, and it has been prepared for you, saith the Lord your Redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
We're going to a higher place.
Yes, sir.
A higher place.
Yes, sir.
I heard it before I left the hotel tonight, and then I heard it again in what Phil was saying. And the Lord was saying it. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up here. Come on up here and see from my place. Come on up here from my perspective. Amen. And see these things that I have done for you and that I have given you, for it is my pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. And, you have not been condemned like the devil to roam around in low places and to crawl in the dust. For I've called you to rise up and to do so through praise and to do so through worship and to begin to exalt me, but don't allow yourself to be stranded or grounded, but put on your eagle's wings and begin to fly high. As you begin to do so, saith the Lord, I will show you those great and wonderful mysteries that they have spoke of in times past. For these are the days where I'm about to allow unprecedented measures of my blessing to be poured down upon my people. So rise up now. Put on your eagle's wing. Begin to praise and worship me like never before. And I'll cause you to enter into higher places. And you'll praise me with exceeding joy, saith the Spirit of the living God. Let's do that right now. Let's just praise him with exceeding joy. Let's just give Him the glory and give Him the honor and give Him the praise. Oh, we worship and we praise You, Almighty God. We worship and we praise You, Almighty God. We worship and we praise You, Almighty God. Never again will we be stranded in depression. Never again will we be stranded in doubt. Never again will we be stranded in fear. For we have risen up above those things. And we give You praise and glory and honor for it now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Shehesh. Kishen de de gan de la baha. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. His holy name. Oh, bless His holy name. Oh, we declare, Lord, that You are our high tower. You're the horn of salvation. You're our buckler, Lord. You're El Shaddai, Lord. You're El Elyon. You are the most high God in this place. You are higher than every situation. You're higher than every circumstance. You are the most high God. We give You praise, Lord. We give You praise, Lord. And we take our place. We take our place seated with You, Lord. We take our place seated with You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Paul and Silas just thrown in prison. Just been whipped, bruises on their back. I would imagine it was great pain. At that moment, they had the opportunity to either look at one another and begin to complain about it. Oh man, how your back feel? My back hurt me so bad. Oh dear God. Man, look and see if I got something right here. But the Bible said they didn't do that. The Bible said with stripes on their back, thrown in the prison, they looked at one another and they began to pray a prayer of worship and praise. They began to pray and praise God. And as they began to pray and praise God, see, they decided we're not going to hang out here with the buzzards. The buzzards on the ground, they don't appear to be awkward at all. But eagles, when they're on the ground, they look kind of goofy. Because eagles don't belong grounded. Eagles belong... And the way you got to do that is when you're tempted to stay grounded, is when you got to put on your eagle's wings. You got to rise above the circumstances and situations. And the Bible says they begin to pray and praise God, and the earth shook. And when the earth shook, their chains fell off, and the jail doors opened. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I still believe that there's a mighty praise in this earth that'll cause this earth to shake. And whatever's been holding you down, it's going to fall off of you, praise God. Sickness is going to fall off. Lack is going to fall off. Shortage is going to fall off. And you're going to put on your eagle's wings.
God. Well, how did God happen? We can almost dismiss. We know what to do now. Just praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Move up and down every aisle, in and out every row. Touch and heal and deliver and set free and make whole. Open our ears, and I thank you that they are anointed to hear tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that we will never be the same again. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with me to the book of Psalms 82 and then Hebrews chapter 2. Our society and in this day and time, they're just not understanding that liberality is not what produces real freedom. Being able to do just anything you think of without any constraints is not what real freedom is all about. Are you listening to me? And you have folks who are saying that marriage is an old institution, and that it doesn't work like it used to work. And people are just coming up with all kinds of weird things. Yet the Bible warns us. And he says something to us. And I want you to see this as we begin tonight. Psalms 82, verse 1. I was ready this time. Last time y'all scared me, I almost turned white. You did it last year. Brother Jerry said he almost turned black. But we got you now. We're ready. See, I went down there and visited with Mac and that wonderful team of guys. I got it now. Psalms 82 verse 1 says this. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. All of the foundations of the earth are out of course. The Amplified says this, all the foundations of the earth, the fundamental principles upon which rests the administration of justice are shaking. Fundamental principles that used to be fundamental in the lives of our society. Fundamental things like, you know, you don't have sex until you're married. Fundamental things and like honor and integrity. Fundamental things that he says there's a breach in the foundation, that our foundations are shaking. And yet we've got to be cautious as Christian people to not allow this to happen with the foundation of faith that we have in the kingdom of God. That we've got to maintain that foundation. For if our foundation be destroyed, what are we going to do? We've got to maintain that foundation. And I can remember the first of the year, as the Spirit of God began to deal with me, he says, I want you to deal all year long with foundational basic things. He says, you have a miscalculated assumption just because you've taught things for years that everybody's heard it. And yet the Bible says that faith cometh how? By hearing and what? Hearing the word of God. And so we're determined in these conventions to make sure that you never lose your foundation. To make sure that every time you attend a believer's convention, your foundation is going to be intact. And if there are any cracks when you show up here, we plan on doing what's necessary to correcting those cracks. So at the end of the week, you can go with a solid foundation of faith. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And it's interesting here because it gives the, when he talks about letting it slip or let those things that we've heard slip, it's the picture of running out as a leaking vessel. If you have a leak in something, how? If you have water in that vessel, how the water begins to leak out and runs out and the level gets lower and lower. The Amplified says, since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. We've got to be careful that a leak doesn't occur in our lives and the level of faith that we had at one time begins to leak out. And he said we ought to pay even more closer attention to those things that we have heard. And so tonight I want to continue to talk to you about how to stay in faith in the midst of the pressure, how to stay in faith when the world is doing weird things, how to stay in faith when the economy is acting funny, how to stay in faith when you can't hardly, you know, trust the news media to give it in the right perspective, how to stay in faith when you're hearing different things, how to stay in faith. Now, let's begin, and I think this is healthy because I realize that successful people are successful because they continue to review the foundations over and over and over and over again. That they go over the foundation principles over and over and over. And they come back the next year and they go over the foundational principles over and over. And they say, well, you know, we've heard this before. And then you keep doing it over and over and over again. Because if you can protect that foundation from cracking, then you're going to always have a foundation from which you can build success on. Amen. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, or table of contents. Let's establish this again. Now, on this first part, I want to give you a quick review on the life of faith. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's read verse 4 out loud together. Ready? Read. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live. The just shall live. The just shall live. Okay, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I did a meeting one week, did 10 sessions, and we went over this every single session. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read verse 17 out loud together. Ready? Read. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. Who shall live by faith? Who shall live by faith? The just shall live how? So notice, faith is not a denomination. Faith is the way that we Christian people live. Faith is the way. It's the prescription. It's what's been prescribed. It's how we live this life as saved people. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Let's read verse 11 out loud together. Ready to read. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live. Who shall live by faith? Who shall live by faith? The just shall live how? Well, who are the just? The just are those who have been declared righteous. The day that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, heaven said you're righteous. Before you did any goody-goody thing, heaven declared your righteousness the day that you declared the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. For those of you who are born again, for those of you who have come out of darkness into the marvelous light, you have a new way of living. You have a new standard by which you live. In other words, once you crossed over out of darkness into the light, once you crossed over from the world of sin and now live according to the kingdom of God's principles, here's what you do. You understand that now I have a new prescription for life. I live according to the word, which is according to faith. So the just shall live how? By faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 38. Let's read verse 38 out loud together. Ready to read. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live how?
By faith.
The just shall live how?
By faith.
Who shall live by faith? Okay, so four times, four witnesses, it has been established. Allow us to establish this, that those of us, those of you who are born again, we have a prescription to live by, and that is by faith. The just live by faith. That's how we live. We live by faith. Now, if you were to go out into the mall and simply go up to someone and ask them, what does it mean to live by faith? Most people will conclude and they will say to you, to live by faith means believing. Now, they're not incorrect, but they are incomplete, because this life of faith, believing is a part of it. But I know people who die in the hospital every day believing that they would live. I know people who go under financially believing that something would happen. I know people that, you know, their marriages didn't work out believing that it would be okay. You see, belief is just one side of the coin. It takes both sides, like you have a quarter. You got the heads and the tail side. It takes both sides in order for that to be a legal tender in this society. And so likewise, belief is one side, but then there's an other side that you have to go through. And I see people all the time. You go to the hospital. Hey, how you think you're going to do with this? Well, I believe God. Well, you believe God what? I believe God's going to be all right. Oh, yeah? Oh, yes, I believe. It's kind of like the guy who was on his way to a Baptist deacons convention. And this was a black Baptist deacon convention. Somebody said, well, what's the difference? If you've ever heard black deacons, you know there is a difference. And so the convention center, you had to go through the desert in order to get to the convention center. And so this, all of the deacons had arrived except this one. And so his car broke down and he had to walk the rest of the way, and he stumbled into the lobby and they picked him up, went and got a doctor. The doctor examined him and the doctor concluded that this man is dying of thirst. All right. What is the cure for a guy who's dying of thirst?
Water.
So they went and got a table. They put some water in front of him, put it on the table. And that man looked at the water and he said, I believe if I drink this water, I will not die. And those deacons said, yes, sir. And that man said, I believe if I drink this water. They said, come on, son. I will not die. You preaching now. And then that man said, I believe. Oh, now, come on, preach now. If I drink this water, you preaching, sir, you preaching. I will not die. Say it, son, say it. And then the guy got really excited. He says, la, 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 la. I believe
if I drink this water, and he fell dead. All right, now let's examine that situation. All right, what he believed, was it true or false? It was absolutely the truth. If a man of dying of thirst would drink water, he won't die. Well, how come he died? He didn't drink the water. Faith is drinking the water. It's not just saying I believe something, but you've got to add some actions to what you believe. You've got to have confidence in what you say you believe. If you really believe that drinking that water is going to keep you alive, you're going to have to drink the water.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And yet, as we go tonight, I want you to notice, yes, that's one part of faith, but we're going to keep going and adding definitions. And hopefully I can draw a picture that you can see where faith is concerned. Because somebody says, well, praise the Lord. Now I know what faith is. It's believing and acting on the word. No, I don't want to stop right there. I don't want to stop right. Thank God that when we get the word, we believe the word, we have confidence in the word, we act out on that word. But there's some other things you need to know, because Satan has a fear that you are one day going to understand how to get results on purpose. Instead of making faith mistakes, hell's biggest fear is that you will know how to execute, or like I heard, engage your faith. Oh, Jesus. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. Let's read verse 17 out loud together. Ready, read. So then, faith cometh by and by the... Read it again. So then, and so I will submit to you, I will conclude right now that the word of God is the source for your faith. I said the word of God is the source of your faith. You see, if you resign from the word, and if you stay apart from the word, and you're not spending time with that word, and you don't know that word, then it will limit the potential you will have for faith. Or even if you go to a church that's not preaching the word of God, and they're preaching Time Magazine, and they're not sticking with what the word has to say, then you're not going to have the potential to have great faith. Or you go to a place that really works on, you know, your emotions and trying to get you more emotional, but you're not hearing anything. You know, and the answer to everything is, if you got a bill, then all you got to do is shout it out. And if you shout it out, then everything is going to be all right. And so you got that bill, and they're going to put you out by 5 o'clock tomorrow. And you've put it down so you can shout it out. Oh! Now, if that bill had a voice and you picked it up, it would still say, I still need to be paid. Because even though you read the word of God and it has promises for you, you've got to learn how to appropriate those promises, and you've got to learn what you need to do, your part of what you need to do to get this thing to operate in your life. And it starts with this word. It starts with a commitment with the word of God, that I am committed to the word of God. It starts with making this word my final authority. Now, when something becomes the final authority, that simply means that all argument will cease once you get to this word. No matter what the opinion was, once you find out what the word has to say, then this is the final authority. All argument will cease. We're going to line up with what the word has to say, because this is what I live by. I believe this word. Somebody say that. I believe this word. Say it again. I believe this word. How many of you know you're going to have to read this word? How many of you know we got to spend some time in this word? And you got to spend some time meditating in this word. And every time something comes up, this word has got to be the first thing you run to. Praise the Lord. See, this is what will make you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. The devil can't stand a Holy Ghost filled, saved, born again, fire baptized, tongue talking, word believer that'll get the word in his mouth every time a situation shows. He's betting
that he can get you so tired of that word that you'll respond more in your emotions and less in the word of God. But when that word just keeps coming out of your mouth, regardless of what's going on, all hell begins to tremble because they don't know what to do with this blood-bought, word-filled, Holy Ghost tongue-talking believer Christian that won't let go of the word of the living God. And he is betting that in this time that we are going to shrink away from the word of God. But oh, Mr. Devil, I can't tell you how wrong you are. Oh, there are mighty men and women who will be rising up in this last day, and they will let the word come out of their mouth, and the word will be their source in everything that they do. We're not leaving the word. We're not leaving the word. We're not leaving the word. So, we've got to get the word in order to have potential of faith. For faith. No word, no faith. I heard Charles Capp say something some years ago. He said, what most people call faith isn't faith at all. It's just high expectation off the wrong information. Getting the wrong information and expecting from that. Well, that's where the world is right now. They have high expectation off the wrong information. We've got the right information. I said, we have the right information. And so we get the word of God. The word of God is the seed for faith. No word, no faith. Say that.
No word, no faith.
See, the word believed and the word acted on will now bring us faith. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Bring your, I don't know if you have your bills or how much you know you need to pay off tomorrow. I'm going to do a 2-hour seminar on supernatural debt release, and we're going to get you out of debt tomorrow evening. Amen. But I want you to hear about faith because it's going to take faith to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's read verse 1 out loud together. Ready, read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, we now understand that the word of God and faith go together. So now watch this. Now the word of God is the substance of things hoped for, and the word of God is the evidence of things not seen. The word of God. Now watch in the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance. Faith is the confidence. The word of God is the assurance. It's the confidence. Faith is the assurance. The word of God is the assurance. It's my confidence. It's my confidence that I know that I'm healed because I have a word on it. Praise the Lord. It's the confidence that I know that I prosper because I have a word on it. It's my confidence that I know that I'll be delivered out of any circumstance or situation. Why? I have the word of God on it. Faith is my assurance. Faith is my confidence. So if the world looks at you and say, how can you be so sure that you're going to come out of this? You say, I got something that's more sure, hallelujah, than what you have. I have the word of God. This is my confidence. Take your Bible right now and hold it up with me and say it out loud. This is the word of God.
This is the word of God.
This is my confidence.
This is my confidence.
This is my hope.
This is my hope.
This is my expectation.
This is my expectation.
This is my victory.
This is my victory.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so now faith is the confidence. It's the confirmation. It's the title deed. It's the confirmation. It's the title deed. When I go out of town, I always come to the hotel with a confirmation number. Because sometimes something may happen with their computer. And there may be time where I'll go in and the lady will say, well, we don't have your name. And I don't get upset. I just pull out. I say, well, here's the confirmation number. See, that confirmation number means that I don't know what happened, but here's a confirmation number that confirms and assures me that I have a room somewhere in this hotel. I don't know if you got to put somebody out. I don't know if y'all got to go and build me one real quick, but I've got the assurance that I got a room somewhere in this hotel. Same way with the word of God. You take that word of God, and that word of God is your assurance that that thing exists somewhere. You might not be able to see it, but if you ever find the word on it, then that is your proof that that thing exists somewhere. It's your title deed. I don't need to see your car to believe you have one. Show me your title deed. And your title deed is proof. It is the evidence that a car exists somewhere.
Well, when you take by his stripes, you're healed out. That is evidence that there is healing somewhere for that situation you have on your body. Now, the doctor may not have it, and scientists may not have come up with it, but I tell you, your authority goes all the way up to the throne of God. And once you find the scripture for it, you can take it to the bank, baby. It exists somewhere. So you can go to sleep and get up because you have the title deed and the confirmation that what you're believing for, even though you can't see it, you know you have it somewhere.
Somebody said, well, what about money? Well, what about money? My God shall supply all of my needs or demands according to his riches and glory. So now we're talking about godly supply for all of your demands. Well, that's your confirmation right there. Every day you get up, Lord, I just put you in remembrance of your godly supply. I believe I receive according to your godly supply. Father, I thank you for your godly supply. Oh, hallelujah for your godly supply. Oh, thank you that heaven is stocked with everything that I need. Oh, God, I have no lack because of your supply. Oh, Lord, heaven doesn't have a recession going on. Thank you, Jesus. And that's how you do that. You keep yourself off the ground because you're busy praising God for the confirmation and the title deed of what the word has to say.
Amen.
So as long as you got the word, you can't be broke. I said, as long as you have the word, you can't be broke. I said, as long as you have the word, you cannot be broke. I want you to turn to two people real quick, and I want you to tell them, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Somebody shout, my broke days are over. I got the word, I got the word, I got the word, I got the word. I can't be broke. Now, it's difficult to act out on something that you don't have any confidence in. Amen? So now let's add this third definition of faith. Faith is not only acting out on the word. We understand that. We praise God for that. But faith is also, here we go, a practical expression of your confidence in God and in his word. A practical expression of your confidence in God and in his word. Just like you express your confidence when you came and you sat down in this chair tonight. You express your confidence in that chair's ability to support you, so you took a seat. Imagine if you would do that with every promise in God's word. Express your confidence in that word. But ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to build confidence in God's word if you're not spending time in it. Well, what am I talking about? Go to Joshua chapter 1. Just a little quick review on your faith. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Something that ain't never happened to you, getting ready to happen. Oh, my goodness. You may have heard about it, but it ain't hit you yet. Somebody got to get this harvest. There's been a lot of sowing and a lot of planting and a lot of praying and a lot of believing. And I believe that we are the generation. I mean, we're the one, we're getting ready to take the load, the mother load is getting ready to be poured down on us. And I'm expecting, I'm looking for it. Hallelujah. I got my eyes bucked wide open. Glory to God. Got my neck stretched out. I'm ready for this thing. I'm expecting something to happen. Glory be to God. I'm like that guy at the gate called Beautiful Man. I'm sitting there expecting something to happen.
Me too. Me too. Amen.
And look at what it says. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what?
Meditate.
Thou shalt what?
Meditate.
Therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way what?
Prosper.
And then thou shalt have what?
Success.
When will you make your way prosperous?
Meditate.
When will you have good success?
Meditate.
When will you be able to deal wisely in the affairs of this world? Notice, spending time with that word, spending time thinking that word and pondering that word and rolling that word over in your mind and considering that word. And that's what he's saying, folks. We've got to spend time with that word. The more time you spend in that word and with that word, the more confidence you'll develop where that word is concerned. You develop confidence in that word, then it's easy to act out on. But now if you're not spending time with that word until that word becomes more real on the inside of you than the circumstance and situation on the outside, you spend time with that word until you can start seeing an image developing. You spend time with that word until you can start seeing yourself walking with the answer. You spend time with that word until that word start talking back to you. You spend time with that word, and all of a sudden you go to a red light, and Holy Ghost speak to you. It's like, how did that happen? That comes from spending time in that word.
Yes.
Nothing just happens, ladies and gentlemen. We spend time in that word. We milk that word, glory to God. We put it on a refrigerator. We put it in the, you know, the throne room. We put it on the dashboard of the car. We put it at work. We meditate that word. We look at it. We look at it. We look at it. We're thinking about it. We look at it. We're thinking about it. Somebody says, well, how do you know when you've meditated long enough? Listen, you're meditating that word so you can prepare yourself to do something called fight the good fight of faith. Now, the good fight of faith is when the pressure shows up and puts the squeeze on, then what's in you comes out of you. And the good fight of faith is when the pressure's coming on, you open your mouth up and you're releasing the word of God coming out of your mouth. Well, see, you got to get that in you if it's going to come out of you, praise the Lord. And every time the pressure comes, you saying that word. You're considering that word. You're not saying nothing but that word. The pressure comes, you sticking with the word. You might have to cry, but you're going to stick with the word. You might curl up in a corner, but you're going to stick with the word. You're not going to leave that word. Your friends might leave it, but you're not going to leave that word. Are you listening to me? Is your faith being stirred tonight? Right now. So we got to spend time meditating in that word to develop the confidence. Now, here's an area that we need to make sure we get right. The Bible says that the word is incorruptible seed. It's seed. So you have in your lap a book of seeds. Now, seed must be planted in order to get what it contains. This is seed. So your heart, of course, is the ground that will receive word seed. Look at Luke chapter 17. Hope I'm not going too fast, but I'm trying to just trying to feed you. I want you to bite something. I mean, not nobody, but maybe the chair or something. Luke chapter 17. Jesus was talking to the disciples about forgiveness and how many times they need to forgive. And in verse 5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree. I heard somebody say, you sick of yours, I'm sick of mine. No, y'all not say that, but it's just. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, here's what Jesus was saying. In other words, if you had faith that you were willing to plant, if you had faith that you were willing to plant, fellas, you don't need me to increase your faith if you understood that faith is a seed and it can be planted. Oh, my goodness. Understand that faith is a seed and it can be planted. Faith is a seed and it can be planted. Now, this will be the difference between people that will get results and people that want results but can't figure out what they're doing or not doing. You have to get the word of God that covers the situation that you're going through. And you have to plant it. Just like you have to plant corn seed in order to harvest corn, you've got to plant healing seed in order to harvest healing. Now, can I come to a meeting and a supernatural manifestation comes over my body? Yes. But in order to keep that, you're going to have to understand what the word has to say, so that when symptoms try to come back and take from you what you received, then you now have the seed of healing that now will help you to maintain what you receive. Same thing where prayer is concerned. You don't go and say, well, I feel like God answered my prayer today. No, your prayer is not based on how you felt today. Your prayer is based on the word of God. Whether you felt good or felt bad, that's what your prayer is based on what God's word. So we got to get this. You know, you're laying in the hospital. I come by and I say, how you doing? Well, I'm doing fine. Well, what you believing for? Well, I believe I'm going to be healed. All right, what you using? The Bible? What part of it? Because the prosperity scriptures ain't going to do you no good. You need some healing seed. You got to get the right kind of seed if you want the correct harvest. Are you willing to spend enough time farming your faith? Are you willing to spend enough time farming your healing seed? Will you be committed to the time necessary to watch over that seed as it is planted in your heart, and watch over that seed so it can grow up in your life? Word seeds belong in the ground or the heart of a man. You have been given authority and dominion to plant the word of God in your heart and grow it in your life. Satan now has to try to dominate you in order for his words to be planted in your garden to try to give harvest, his harvest in your life. And so you got to understand what you got. That's why the Bible says to guard your heart. Why? For out of it flows what? The issues of life. Life comes out of your heart. Your life, our lives are sum total of word seeds going through our eye gate, our ear gate, our mouth gate, getting into the ground of our heart. And if we're watching it, it will come up into our life. See, there's one thing about the faith seed going in, but if you treat it right, faith will come out like a force. A force of faith is a different than the seed of faith. The force of faith is like dynamite. It will rearrange and change things. And when faith comes out of you like harvest, it will rearrange the circumstances and situations and give way and give birth to that seed that's been in the ground, that you've watched over, that's exploded into your life as a force, and rearrange debt, and rearrange sickness, and rearrange, and has blown and blasted out of place.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'll never forget when I was believing God for healing in my prostate, and I spent time in there. I knew what to do. I was thanking God I knew what to do. I got my tapes. I got my videos. I got my audios. I went in there. I cut myself off from everything except that word going in my ears and my eyes. And I'd make my confessions over and just do it over. And this was a 24-hour thing. Even when I slept, there was word going and feeding my spirit. You see, sickness is working 24 hours a day to try to kill you. You got to outwork it. Poverty is working to try to keep you broke. You got to outwork it. And that word kept going and word kept going and word kept going. And I remember the day when it came out as a force. I knew something happened. I knew I was healed. I wasn't going to the doctor to have him to tell me what was going on. I already knew what was going on. I was enjoying hearing him say,
hear him ask me what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to get results on purpose. That word's got to be planted. It's got to get, you got to get time. You got to spend it time looking at it and hearing it and saying it with your mouth. Your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You're writing that on your heart. You're protecting your ears from other stuff because you say, I don't need 30-fold. I don't need 60-fold. I got to have 100-fold. I got to have 100-fold. I don't need to be getting no 30-fold. Now, 30-fold going to come when you're spending, you know, when you're spending 30% of the time doing what I'm teaching right now, and then 70% of the time you're doing doubt and unbelief and changing your mind. No, you ain't got time for no 30-fold. You need 100-fold. 100-fold. Somebody said, well, I need 100-fold. You got to protect that ground. You can't let the crabgrass come in and challenge how it grows up. You got, somebody said, well, you just trying to be deep. Every time I look around, you talking the word. Every time I look around, you reading that Bible. Every time I look around, you listening to tapes. You need to get a life. Now, you don't understand. I'm trying to save my life, and I ain't got time. I ain't got time to look at as the world turns, and I ain't got time to look at no edge of night. I don't want to be on the edge of night. I ain't got time to look at Ryan's hope. I got to get the hope that's in this word right here. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm working on something. You think I'm trying to be deep, but I'm working on something. I'm meditating in this thing all the time because I'm not trying to be deep. I'm working on something. I realize that I ain't got time for nothing else to come in. I'm working on something. I can't afford to let mom and them come in my house, talk a bunch of doubt and unbelief. So I don't want to see them right now. I love you, but I ain't got time for y'all to help me die. Neighbor, say I'm working on something. Are you listening to me? So faith is the word of God living in us, and that faith is now working. It's working in our heart, not in our head. It's working in our heart. It's growing in our heart. Now, it is so vitally important for you to understand. In Mark chapter 4, I won't spend time, but I need to mention this. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 41. Read the whole chapter, because that is the granddaddy parable of them all. And it talks about the different types of ground that you sow in. And you know, just because you sow doesn't mean you're going to have a harvest. It's based on the type of ground that you have. You can't have unforgiveness in your heart and expect for a harvest to come up. Amen. Now, confession is to your faith as thrust is to an airplane. Confession is to your faith like thrust is to an airplane. Without thrust, an airplane will not get off the ground. An airplane is heavier than the air, so you've got to have something pulling it through the air. You must have thrust for there. You know, there's a law of lift which overcomes the law of gravity. And there are certain laws in the spirit that will overcome. You see Jesus demonstrating that walking on the water. So confession is important, and confession is very vital. Now, I was thinking this afternoon, what if we could have a checklist like a pilot before he gets in the plane? What if we can have a checklist to check off the things that are necessary for our faith to begin to produce what it needs to produce? Would you like to have a checklist? I want to check off my, make sure everything where it's supposed to be. Let me give you that real quick. Number one. Especially when you're not seeing things happen like they need to happen, and you want to go through everything and say, now I wonder why this isn't working. Let me go through my checklist and see what's happening. Okay? First thing we need to check, recognize. If you're looking at something that's not happening, you're trying to figure out, well, why is my faith not working? What's taking so long? What's going on here? First thing you need to do is recognize that the source of the opposition comes from Satan. The source of the opposition comes from Satan. And what you've got to do, number one, stand your ground.
stand your ground. The source of the opposition comes from Satan, and you've got to stand your ground. The Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You've got to stand your ground. Having done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. I read a manual, Brother Hagin said, if you're willing to stand forever, you won't be standing very long. So make sure you stand your ground. Recognize that the source of your opposition. The devil don't want you prospering. Now you said the devil don't want you to have no $1 million. Because he'll know what you'll do with it. $1 billion? He'll know what you'll do with it. But I believe I receive right now. I don't care what you think. I believe I receive billions. You understand? I know what to do with it right now. He put billions in the hands of the people in this room. What? He got a headache on his hand. Are you serious? Some of y'all we come to have a believers convention. Next thing we know, some of y'all have bought the building. Here you go, Brother Copeland. You can come here free anytime you want to. You own the building now. It's yours. Well, how'd you get it? I made them a deal they couldn't turn down. Number two. Be sure the promise of God, that scripture. Be sure that that scripture covers the thing you ask for and the thing you're believing for. Sometimes I meet people and ask them, well, what scripture are you believing? And they're using the scripture. It's a general thing, but they're better ones that you could use. Is it covering what you're believing God for? The entrance of his word bringeth what? Light. Number three, be sure you're not living in sin or practicing sin or practicing wrongdoing. Now, if you miss the mark, get up, repent, keep going. But be sure you're not stuck and stranded and practicing sin. Why? Because sin hinders faith. Now, I don't want to just leave it there. How does sin hinder faith? Well, if faith is a practical expression of your confidence in God and his word, what sin will do, when you sin, it attacks that confidence. You start walking around with a guilty conscience, condemnation, you beat yourself up. You don't have confidence. Number one, because you think that all of a sudden God doesn't love you anymore. And now watch this carefully. Now, if he can get you to think that God doesn't love you anymore, your faith is going to be hindered. Why? Because real Bible faith is faith in the love of God. If somehow, some way, he can convince you that God doesn't love you anymore, then if you think God doesn't love you, then you won't believe what God promises you. Okay? But when you know God loves you, then you'll believe what he promises you. I went on my first cruise. My wife and I we celebrated a second marriage. So Taffy, I told her, just fix it up. I said, just make sure you don't get one of them little rooms and none. And I went. And we were on the top of the boat. And I woke up in the middle of the night and water was coming all on the windows. And I'm thinking, like, what is this? You know, and I had to bind the spirit of Titanic. You Titanic devil, I bind you. And I can remember I sat up in the bed and I said, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves, because I knew. I said, you're not going to affect that. I know God loves me. So whatever this is going on outside, God loves me. God loves me. So Taffy rolled over. She said, baby, what you doing? I said, it must be some kind of storm or something out there. She said, why you keep saying God loves me? I said, I don't know what's going on. She said, baby, that's the man washing the windows outside. Man, she fell out laughing, you know. I got up, looked out. Sure enough, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, now, the thing that impressed me, the thing that impressed me was when I thought it was going to be Titanic. I put myself in remembrance of the love of God. Because I knew if I had confidence in God's love for me, then my faith would work. I could have. See, when you know God loves you and they threaten to put you out your house, because you know God loves you, you know God's got a provision for you. So real Bible faith is faith in the love of God. So make sure that that sins. Now, number four, be sure no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life concerning the promise of God. Be sure that no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life concerning the promise of God. In other words, watch out for that second thought. I mean, you got yourself on the word of God. You understand what the word says. You believe it. You're standing on it. You're planning it. You're doing all those things. Watch out for that second thought. Don't let the circumstances around you begin to dictate a second thought, something double, doubt. Are you following what I'm saying? Mark 11:23 talks about, you know, confessing the word, confessing it with your mouth, believing with your heart, having no doubt in your heart. Having no doubt in your heart. So ask yourself that question. Have I entertained the second thought? Do I have doubt in my heart? I mean, you remember Peter walking on the water? Peter walking on that water, boy. I mean, Peter, first of all, the whole story is they thought when they saw Jesus walking on the water that it was a ghost. And if the disciples were black, they ran. If they were white, they investigated. Moi? Is that a ghost? Black people don't even investigate. We don't have to see nothing. If somebody started running in front of us, we're like, man, what you running for? What? We don't look at nothing, we go. I don't mind looking back, investigate. You know, all the little movies, you know. Black people ain't gonna be sitting around listening to no ch-ch-ch-ch. The first they hear, they gone. What was that? So, and so Peter said, Lord, if it be you, then bid me to come. Well, Jesus had no choice but to say come. Because he wasn't going to say it be not me. He said, so come. And so off one word, Peter stepped out. And he was walking in a law that superseded the law of gravity. And there was a man just like us. Oh, check it out. Walking on the water. A man walking on the water. He had to do a little pimping. Walking on the water. And the devil got his attention. Because he started walking. The devil said, boy, you know what you're doing? Yeah, I'm walking on the water. You can't walk on no water, boy. Who told you you can walk on the water? Don't you see the waves? The wind blowing. Fool, don't you know you can't be walking on no water when the wind blowing? And Peter like, duh, for real though, man? Oh, man. Oh. Second thought came in. Second thought came in. And what happened? He began to sink. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. Because here's the picture of where we are today. But Jesus was right there to pick him up. Watch this. And they walked on the water together. Letting the devil know, when I fall, I shall arise. But listen, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, in the name of Jesus, demons will tremble. Listen, I got Jesus now. I ain't got to walk by myself.
with. When the doctor say you got a disease, remember who you're walking with. When trouble show up, remember who you're walking with. You better start seeking, but Jesus came and picked you up, and now through life you're walking together.
And I'll never walk alone. All right. Number five, sincerely desire the benefit you've asked God for. A sincere desire for what you ask for. Desire is a very interesting thing because whatever you attend to is what you're going to desire. So as you spend the time with that thing and you give it your attention, it produces that desire. Don't lose that desire. And the way you don't lose it is don't lose your attention. Continue to attend to that thing. Continue to spend time with that thing that you desire. Whatsoever things you desire, Mark 11:24 says, you pray those things, you're going to have them. Number six. Ask God in faith. Nothing wavering, believing that what is asked is yours. I'm asking God in faith and according to the word of God. No wavering, just what we just talked about. No wavering. I'm asking him in faith, no wavering. I'm believing that what is asked is mine. I'm believing it to such a point that I'm not going to be, watch this, double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he should receive. Not going to have no two minds. I just got one. Someone says, well, what am I supposed to do when the what am I supposed to do until the manifestation shows up? I'm going to put God in remembrance of his word, and I'm going to give him thanksgiving. Put him in remembrance, give him thanksgiving. I ain't going to ask that again. I've already taken care of that. Next time I pray about it, Lord, I just put you in remembrance of your word, and I just thank you for it, and I just give you praise over it. Number seven, do not tolerate for one moment a thought to the contrary. Do not tolerate for one moment. Now, this is where we're talking about taking control of your thought life, that you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with what? Words. OK, so don't tolerate for one moment a thought that is contrary to what you believe is yours. When that thought comes, you immediately cast it down and you bring it into submission to the word of God. Don't sit up there trying to fight thoughts with thought. Don't sit up there like, somebody going to think you crazy. You lost your mind. What's the matter with you? No. Some thought comes in contradicting and contrary to the word. Then to walk in the spirit is to get that thought that lines up with God's word and use it to capture that thought that goes against the word of God and cast it down. See, if you don't, then those thoughts that you allow to stay up there, it'll build a house of thoughts, and strongholds reside in the mind. So you got to make sure that you're a good custodian over your thought life. Number eight. Count the thing done that you've asked for. Count it done. For example, with our salvation, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With our mouth, we said it. We believe we received it. It was done right at that point. Count it done. Amen. Count it done. It's done. I believe it. It's done. Done. Well, Brother Jerry was teaching us last night. Man, I tell you, I was vetoing some stuff this morning. Oh, my God, I was vetoing stuff, man. My wife said, what you doing? I said, I'm vetoing stuff. She said, huh? I said, I'm blessed. I got the power to veto. My name's Creflo, and I can veto. Appreciate that, Brother Jerry. I can veto. Creflo, veto. Count it done. It's done. Number nine, give glory to God even before it comes into manifestation.
Give glory or thanksgiving to God even before it comes into manifestation. This is the will of God, that in everything we give him thanks. Now, we're not thanking him for everything, but we're thanking him while we're in everything. So no matter what you're in, you begin to take the word of God and give him thanks for that instead of that thing that you're going through. In everything, give thanks. The Bible talks about how Abraham gave glory to God. In everything, give thanks. You prayed about that thing. You count it done. So now you're going to, every opportunity. Lord, I just thank you for that. I believe I received that right now. I thank you, Lord, that all of our bills are paid. I give you praise for godly supply. Oh, God, I'm just so thankful. Be careful not to complain about what you don't have and forget to be thankful for what you do have. You know? Number, what is this? 10. Act as though you have received what you've asked. Go act like it. There's always some way you can act. I'm not talking about in presumption. You know, this lady wrote a check one time and she put $5 million on it. I said, well, you got the money? She said, no. I said, well, you should have kept this in your top drawer. No, you don't. What you did was illegal act is what it was. See, you should have took that check, wrote it out for $5 million, kept it in your drawer, used it as a point of contact to release your faith, believe that you received, and then when you had it in the bank, you can put it in. But that's the Bible didn't say do no illegal act. Girl, what's the matter with you? But the Lord told me to do it. Quit lying on God. Quit lying on God. I'm tired of people lying on God. Stop lying on God. God didn't tell you that. Like a lady came out one time and said, the Lord told me to marry that man. I said, he saved? No, he ain't saved. But the Lord said the Lord didn't tell you to marry no devil. He said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. He ain't even believer. Yeah, but Pastor, my biological clock is ticking and I got to take what I can get right now. You about to marry the devil. And when he turn his head all the way around, spit up green stuff and float over your bed, don't come calling me talking about you. You need to talk to me. Because remember, the law told you. See, presumption is something that is thought to be true or probable. And you don't want to operate in presumption. All right, now, we're going to take this review of faith. And we're going to apply it to principles on debt release. And I'm going to show you, you have something great. Have you noticed lately they got all these little companies, you know, call us and we'll get you out of debt. They're just talking about credit card. And y'all know you're saying credit card. I got more than credit card. No, there's an anointing. There's a power. The blessing. How to get the blessing to work for you. Obedience will cause it to work for you. Amen. Tithing will cause it to work for you. Faithfulness will cause it to work for you. And a life of purity will cause it to work for you. Take hold of these things. Do your review. Get your faith stirred up. And we'll come in here, spend 2 hours straight, man, and walk you step by step. Until you out of debt and you ain't never going to see that mess no more. And God will show you how to do what needs to be done. Amen. Now, I think yesterday morning, Brother Copeland was talking about the importance of sowing into the spiritual thing that you received. If you receive what was preached tonight, if you received from the word tonight, then your first act of faith would be demonstrated in your giving. The first act of faith where this word is concerned is a release of your material things as a result of what you have received spiritually. And the Bible says over and over again that if you've received something spiritual, then it's right for you to share
of your material increase. That's what happened with Jesus. And he blessed them and he cast out devils and he healed them. And the Bible says, and they shared of their material substance because of what they received. They believed their action of faith was demonstrated in their offering. At our church in Atlanta, we're ministering the word first and then receiving our offering so people will have a chance to act out and to sow in the Spirit. And to sow towards the Spirit. And what you've heard is the word. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And so you get to sow towards that. You get to sow towards what you've heard, this foundation of faith remaining intact in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to say two things to you tonight. Number one, I love you. But number two, I believe in you. And I believe that you can do great and awesome things. And that these last years that we have on this planet, I tell you what, there are going to be some great times. And I believe that all this year has been a year of turnaround. It's been a turning point year. It's been a year where God Almighty is doing just what he promised. But we have to stay in faith. We cannot be moved by what we see. We cannot be moved by what we hear. And we cannot be moved by the reports of the media. We've got to be moved by the word of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sow financially towards spiritual things, to release our faith, and that our first initial action is through this financial seed that we sow tonight. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that the blessing that is on us, that anointing that is on us, that ability that is on us, be released to increase us and cause us to prosper. We thank you that this seed is anointed and powerful to cause that authority of that blessing to prosper our lives. Now speak to our hearts. Show us what you would have us to give. And we will obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hands and the ushers will be more than happy to serve you tonight. I'm excited about the just shall live by faith. And I thank God that we'll become bold as lions where it's concerned, that we walk by faith, man. We do it a way that the world just doesn't understand. And then we pray for their understanding. We pray that God will save them and God will give opportunity for a laborer to come around and to minister to them and to be a blessing to their life. And I thank God that it will happen. Now, as you're doing that, I want you to begin to release your faith in this seed that you're getting ready to sow. I don't want you to sow this as, well, this is just another typical seed. Check out what you just heard. That's what you're getting ready to act towards. That's what you're getting ready to act towards. Getting results on purpose. And not faith mistakes, but getting results on purpose. Praise the Lord. If you're ready, go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to declare over our seed. Hold your seed up. Now, Father, I declare right now over the seed of the righteous right now. I declare in the name of Jesus that the might of God is on this seed. You said our seed is mighty in this earth. And I declare as we sow these spiritual seed and gifts towards this word that we have heard, that, Lord, you will complete the transaction action of this word. And I thank you, Lord, that supernatural anointing is released upon this seed, and great and powerful things will begin to happen because it is sown into good ground. Now, Father, we declare that we are people of faith. We declare that we live a life of faith, and we declare that we will not step out of this life of faith. We sow this seed in Jesus' mighty name, expecting for the harvest of it. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Let's just go ahead and receive it. And I am turning it over to Lynn Meek. I love y'all. See you tomorrow. 2 hours of debt freedom.